Welcome to the Northwest Hospitality Leadership Podcast. In this episode, Washington Hospitality Association President and CEO Anthony Antone is joined by his counterpart at the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association, Jason Brandt. The two discuss leadership with Shannon McMenamin of the McMenamin's chain of brew pubs, breweries, music venues, historic hotels, and theater pubs. Thank you to our sponsor, the Clean Buildings Concierge Program. The Washington Hospitality Association's Clean Buildings Concierge Program is designed to help members with large buildings reduce energy use, leverage financial incentives for energy efficiency projects, and comply early with the Washington State Clean Buildings Standard. Find a link to this program in our show description. And now, here's Anthony.
Welcome to the next edition of the Northwest Hospitality Leadership Podcast. Last time we got to hear from lodging industry legend Frank Welton from the Hilton Company, who the new introduction to the Lifetime Achievement Award, Burton Child Lifetime Achievement Award. And we're going to continue with industry legends here in the Northwest with our guest today. A little bit of a reminder for those who are jumping into this podcast new, the Northwest Hospitality Leadership Podcast is intended to talk about modern leadership and hospitality. The times have changed, and our mentors and parents and the people who led us to be great led under a time where just about all of them were gone through the military or parents were in the military and had very hierarchy styles. Our new generations, our new challenges, the flexibility we need moving forward is calling for a new kind of leadership. And we're really trying to explore leadership ideas, and hopefully you'll leave each one of these podcasts with a little bit more on how to lead differently in today's era and lead the industry to higher success. Let me start with, we're very lucky to have with us today the smarter half of the Northwest leadership in my counterpart, in Jason Brandt, out of the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association, my Southern brother. Jason, welcome to the podcast today.
Hey, thanks so much, Anthony. Great to be with everyone. And huge thanks to Shannon McMenamin for joining us as our featured guest on the podcast this time. So Shannon is a second generation owner and operator of the McMenamins. I like to call it the McMenamins Empire. She might not like that term, but just amazing concepts and experiences being provided to Oregonians, Washingtonians, and then tourists from across the country and internationally as they have the opportunity to experience one of the many McMenamins locations throughout Oregon and Washington. And Shannon is a perfect guest for this discussion, Anthony. She's the incoming chair for our board of directors at the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association. She'll take the helm as our chair of the board this coming fall. And so Shannon, just wanted to thank you so much for being here and talking a little bit about, you know, all the challenges and triumphs that come with generational leadership transitions. From your dad and your uncle to the time when you're getting in more involved and taking the leadership reins yourself for so many different aspects of the business. And appreciate you walking us through it, what it's like to be in the world of McMenamins for a little bit here.
Thanks, Jason. I'm really happy to be here. Hi, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was ecstatic. I think I told you my family when they heard that you're going to be on the podcast, thought I was just a little bit cooler finally. We're really excited to have you with us today and get to hear from you. Let me ask my premise. Would you agree? You and I both grew up in the industry. We've experienced family that had success in industry bluntly, and yet times have changed. Would you agree with my premise that the leadership maybe that we grew up with, what it's going to take to lead the industry moving forward, is probably going to look a little different?
I absolutely agree with you that it's going to look different as we move forward as leaders. Generationally, I think that there are a lot of differences. And I think it's really important for, you know, those of us who are coming into our leadership roles kind of at the, you know, as we're moving into the later parts of our careers, I guess, that we're listening to the people who are working below us and not being stuck in old ways of thinking as far as how we were managed when we were younger and we were coming up into our leadership roles and finding out more what the next generation of leaders is wanting as they move into their their spots in our companies and our organizations, and trying to figure out ways for them to be successful that make sense for the organization and also for them personally, because we all want that balance between work and life, and we want to feel like we're able to live where we work.
No, I agree with you. I think people forget that, you know, we spend roughly a third of our lives at work and a third of our lives asleep, and then a third of our lives with the people we actually choose to be with, right? So
yes,
we are experiencing a third of our lives at work. And if you're in the restaurant or hotel industry, probably a lot more than that, right? If you're owning your own property. So we want our team members' experiences to be great. When I told people we were talking, three or four people asked me the same thing. How does your leadership end up with your team being so fully engaged and being part of your properties? It comes through so clearly when you're there. The hospitality at McMenamins is great. And you see it at the front desk. You see that when people describe the properties, who could be a busser or could be a person, you know, I'm not sure what they do, walk in the hallways. It just seems to be your team end to end enjoys working for you. What's been the key to that kind of leadership, to see that kind of team following?
You know, I think that we work a lot towards like being authentic and letting our team be authentic. Like, we don't want them to be scripted. We want them to be empowered to help customers and our guests as they walk in the door and really, you know, cultivate an experience for people that meets their needs, like in what they want individually. And that isn't one size fits all. And so we really try not to be cookie cutter. And then we try to get our teams excited about what we're doing in general. And that's, it's a lot. It's a lot of things all the time. You know, it's constant communication and really trying to work on just kind of getting people on the same page and really excited about what we're doing. And I think that ends up showing. I'm so excited that you mentioned the front desk first. You know, that was kind of my area where I grew up through the company. I started out in group sales and then ended up in a hotel management position at the Grand Lodge, where I worked out there for about 5 years, and I just really love that place. And eventually I became a general manager of the hotel management staff. And that's where I kind of feel like I really grew up as a manager. And a lot of the people who I worked with then, and I still work with them now, but they're still with the company. You know, these are long-term people who are really invested in what we do, and we've been able to retain them because they're so integral to what we're trying to offer. And like, we're so lucky. I'm so lucky to be surrounded by all of these really wonderful people who know our products so well. They know our family, they know our company, they know our values, and they're able to really express that to our guests, you know, as they're coming through the door. So I think that that's kind of what you're seeing there.
I love it.
And Shannon, yeah, I mean, when I think about McMenamins, I think about things that are the opposite of the experience you get when you come to a restaurant or a hotel associated with your brand. Like, the movie Office Space comes to mind, and how, you know, you have these arbitrary TPS reports that you have to fill out and, you know, things like that, that are kind of ingrained in policies that don't necessarily matter. So I'm curious for you, you know, obviously when you're running an organization of the size and scope that you have at McMenamins, you have to have some level of policy, but you mentioned the importance of making sure people can be their true selves and kind of, maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe have more of a authentic go with the flow type of interaction with guests, but you're probably still going to need to have them adhere to some policies. So how do you do that dance at McMenamins where you don't make the policies overly intensive while still, you know, and then achieving those results where you have so many people stay with you for the long haul because they can be their authentic selves?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just creating an atmosphere through, like, you know, that constant communication where people aren't afraid to make mistakes, because that's how they're going to grow the best. So you kind of give them like the general guidelines for what you want them to do. And, you know, you talk through like kind of the pitfalls, or like the, oh, don't go here because this is, you know, like kind of what can happen. And then you just really have to trust and take your time and watch and listen and like gently correct, you know, if something isn't going the direction that you want it to go, you just have to kind of get them back in line, you know, with what you're thinking or where you want to be. And a lot of times that's kind of a natural process, you know, as you work through your days and years in different industries, you just kind of find those ins and outs. And I think it's so important that, you know, you just really give people space to learn and that you're constantly, you know, growing in your positions. So I don't think that really answered it, but
I think the patience, the attribute of patience as a leader is one of those things that we probably could hone in on a little bit when it comes to the differences generationally, right? And the type of leadership required now versus the traditional leadership of past decades. If you're not able to be patient and help people make those mistakes, then I've kind of noticed, you know, anecdotally that I think some of our employers have a tougher time holding on to people if they have a lower level of patience.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, for me, like for us as a company, we really try to empower our staff even down to that ground level to go out and make things right for a customer or a guest. Sometimes that can be really difficult, you know, because like when you've done it a whole bunch, you just want to like go out there and like take care of it. But like, you know, okay, so you've got a problem, like, and you ask people like, what do you think you should do in order to solve this? You know, like I always like to work with my staff. If they come to me with an issue, they need to think about what they want to have for a solution before they come talk to me about it. And then we can talk about why that is either going to work or not going to work, and then let them go and give it a shot and see how it goes. And I think that's kind of the best way to learn is when you think it through all the way instead of just going to whoever your supervisor is and saying, what do I do? You know, we don't want that sort of environment where people are afraid to make decisions on their own and they can't just help somebody who's in front of them, because that's super frustrating for a guest. That's super frustrating for the staff. And then your, you know, people who are in your management and leadership positions, they feel overwhelmed because they're having to take on all those burdens. And it really makes for a stronger workforce if everybody is sharing that responsibility.
You've talked about over communication a couple of times, and I certainly agree. When you're training a new GM to learn how to over communicate to their team, mm-hmm. is there kind of a, here are the four or five things beyond the general approach that a communication vehicle or how they communicate, or how does that get done?
I think for everybody, that's a little bit different, and that's okay. You know, that it doesn't look the same for me and how I talk to people about it. It's really making time to have scheduled time with individuals where you have a chance to talk through all of like your main points at work and listen to, you know, where your new GM is at with those different things, and then offer them advice and kind of have them work through the process with you. But creating that space for that open communication and having that set time. And I'm not talking about like, oh, we talk to him all the time. You know, I see him all the time. We walk by, we chat for like 5 seconds. I saw him just a few minutes ago, you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about scheduled time where you sit down, maybe you have lunch together, and stuff just starts coming out after you've been together for a little while and people start getting relaxed. A lot of times if I'm working with a new manager or new general manager, we'll want to go through all of their key team players and just say, so how's this person doing? And then like, let them talk. How's this person doing? Okay. And then you talk about that. Okay. What are you going to do about the issues with that person? And then they, you know, kind of let you know what they're doing, or if they're not doing anything, then you can unpack that. Like, why are you not doing anything about that? Like, you've had these issues that have been ongoing with this person. You're not doing yourself any favors by not addressing them. You know, I think that's another thing too, is making sure that people are addressing issues right off the bat, because that can really affect your team's morale. And that can really make things go downhill fast if you've got somebody who is not on the same, like working towards the same goals as the rest of the team, or maybe they're causing problems or disrupting things or have like a negative attitude. You need to go right in and find out what's going on with that person and, you know, figure out how to make them successful. And even if that means that they shouldn't be working for your organization anymore because you're not the right fit for them, because not everybody is the right fit. And that's okay too. You know, we just want people to be happy wherever they are, even if it's not with us, you know?
Because of all the marketplace opportunities that exist, mm-hmm. we're seeing a lot of transitions of general managers throughout the hospitality industry. And I'm just curious, if you're in a situation providing coaching and advice to a general manager, and they haven't quite maybe earned that position in the eyes of the people that they're overseeing, what advice do you have for general managers that are new to those roles and they're trying to, you know, earn the street credibility, if you will, of the people that they're directly supervising? So you mentioned like the team leads. Mm-hmm. What helps that person gain success in that space? And I'm just curious kind of how you help navigate that for the general managers.
Well, for that person who's having that trouble, a lot of times that means that they're going in too hot. They need to stop and slow down a little bit. They need to listen. They need to make themselves available. They need to really like find out what systems are in place and how they're working with their teams and not try to force any sort of, you know, like authority on top of things. You know what I mean? Because that's not how you want to lead. You want to be like kind of the least important person. So they need to just settle down maybe a little bit and really talk through the issues with their teams and really listen to them. I think that listening cannot be emphasized enough. I think that's like a superpower, and a lot of leaders don't take enough time to listen. And so that's the number one thing that I would say to them is go, they need to set up those meetings. They need to spend the time with the individuals, and they need to listen to what they have to say. And then they need to take action on the things that they're hearing. And, you know, for that person who's having those struggles, for whoever's supervising them, like if that's me, then I would want to like kind of double up my efforts and then also circle back and be checking in with the people who are working underneath them, see how it's going, talk to them about what they're seeing, you know, like if they're feeling like happy about the changes, like knowing that we're working on stuff together and that we want this person to be successful, and just kind of like helping to back up that person, but then also make sure that those staff feel like they're really being heard who are working underneath them, who are maybe feeling a little bit like edgy about the situation.
Is that really one of the keys? I mean, I think right now we've got four generations in the workforce. Mm-hmm. Is that, and I hear so often from the grumpy old guys that kids these days don't get it and they're not inspired. They're not, you know, the negative stereotypes you'll hear. And I keep saying, you know, if you can tap into their passions, this might be the best generation we've ever seen. But there's some more work involved in that. Is listening the key to that? Or when you're trying to get maybe someone who's a boomer or a late Gen Xer to connect with their crew, who's probably largely millennials or now Gen Ys, or Gen Zs, sorry. How do you get them to cross that generational barrier or encourage it?
I think the main thing you have to do is kind of challenge that thinking, because it's not 100% true. You know, like I think we've faced a lot of really major issues over the last few years with like major turnover with our staff. And, you know, there have been a significant amount of people who don't seem like they want to work, but I think that that's a result of the pandemic and the anxiety that's gone along with that. And the fact of the matter is that we're still operating. We have a ton of people who are working, and they're working really hard, and they're doing a really wonderful job. And so to make blanket statements like that, I feel like it's coming from a place of anxiety more so than a place of like actual truth, you know? So I think you just kind of have to challenge it and be like, well, what about this person and that person? Mm-hmm. Like, those are our future leaders. Like, they're doing an awesome job. It's like, oh, well, I'm not talking about them. You know, it's like, well, who are you talking about? You know, like,
exactly.
But it's also important to create like space for, you know, like, I guess maybe your boomers to feel those feelings. You know, I think that that's okay too. And of course, that would make any boomer who's listening to this roll their eyes at me right now. And I'm okay with that. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing, is like people need to have a safe space to vent. And so it's just making sure that like, if you are hearing those kind of things, that that's not getting to the people who are really like trying to make their name for themselves. And their expectations might be different now as a new generation that's coming in. The rules have changed. And, And that's okay too. You know, it's entirely different environments that we're navigating here with different regulations and, you know, different expectations for like work-life balance.
Shannon, when it comes to, let's keep those boomers happy out there. Just see if
we love like the boomers, question. Right?
I think your answer was awesome. And that's what we're here to talk about. So for the boomers out there that are curious about measuring success with, let's say, new generational managers within McMenamin Properties. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about like a general manager that you're providing advice and coaching to, like how many direct intentional appointments they really need to be setting up in that position. And then how many of those direct appointments should at any given time feel like they're a great general manager to keep you happy as their direct supervisor? Is there a number or a certain metric that they think so. Through?
Yeah, I don't think so. It just depends, you know, like it depends. And I think it changes over time. So if you've got somebody who's just stepped into the position, I would say you'd want to meet with them weekly and probably have those infrequent chit chats with them in between that and be checking in on the people who are working below them. I'd say if it's somebody who's been around for a long time, you could probably even meet with them every other month, as long as you are doing those like check-ins and you're making sure that they're getting the attention that they need. Because sometimes I think that the people who have the most experience and have been with you for a really long time, they sometimes can get forgotten about because they just are kind of like holding the line and doing a great job, and they still want to be seen and they still need that feedback and they still are doing a lot of really hard work and want that time with people who are working, you know, I guess above them. I don't really like to use those terms of like above or below, because I feel like we work with each other, you know, and we have different roles and different ways that we function. It's not that someone is above or below someone else. And that's just kind of more of like a personal philosophy that I subscribe to. But I think a lot of managers look at things that way now. A lot of managers and a lot of leaders look at things more that way now than ever in the past.
Now, one of the coolest illustrations of what you're describing, Shannon, is a speaker at a conference one time showed me, you know, the traditional model hierarchy of, you know, boxes on a chart with top-down leadership, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that our cultures have evolved is more like a sphere that you have to think about, not a bunch of boxes in a top-down chart. Think about a big sphere where all these positions exist within a big bubble and there's synapses firing all these different erratic directions, right? There's no top or bottom. It's just a bunch of electricity that creates excellence within that space, right? And that's, I think, one of the better illustrations I've heard a speaker provide to describe the differences between generations.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's such a cool, you know, way of looking at it. I just think that's really fun.
Would you expect most of your teammates, whatever their level, to have had a weekly or monthly meeting with their supervisor? Just how are they doing and check-ins? Is that part of the culture, or is that more of your personal style and you hope that kind of sees through?
That's my more personal style, I would say. You know, we have like regular meetings that are scheduled, but it kind of just depends, you know, like it depends on the needs of the location. It depends on the needs of the managers. It depends on the needs of the district managers. You know, I think there's just so many different ways to do it, and you have to be flexible and still be able to like make time for people in there. But yeah, company-wide communications for our like district manager level, we all get together as a group every other week. And this is kind of a result of the pandemic and our new way of operating since then. And we talk about our main goals as a group, and we talk about how we want that to be put across to the rest of our staff and our teams. And we talk about who's having successes with the new programs that we're trying to initiate and who's struggling with them and why, and the ways that we can overcome that as a group. And that togetherness that we have now that we didn't have for a few years during that time where we had the, you know, the shutdown and all of the social distancing has been so wonderful to get all of our people back on board with, and you know, one of our district managers calls it swimming in the same direction. We got to get everybody swimming in the same direction, you know, and that's, I guess, is the goal, you know? So as long as you can do that, you know, so we get all the district managers together and then they go back to their, we call them pods, and they get together with all their managers and then they do the same thing with them. And then they do that with their teams. And that's how we like kind of move the information through the organization.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Northwest Hospitality Leadership Podcast. Join us next month for part two of this conversation. Shannon McMenamin will share her personal leadership philosophy, be honest, be kind, and be curious. Thanks for listening.